This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Spiegel and Holmes.
I'm just saying, Lawrence, you were saying some stuff last week, if my memory is correct.
That's why Danny left.
Afternoons on the Score.
I'm a competitor, so, you know, every day show up, compete. You know, coming into a new program, my main goal now is to just get on the field as soon as possible. I've mentioned that before. Well-rounded, disciplined player. I'm going to play hard, play tough, but also play smart and under control. Don't let emotions get the best of me. Try and stay, you know, in the moment at all times, very focused and, you know, disciplined.
New Bears tackle. I don't know whether to put left or right in front of that, so I'll just say tackle. Ozzie Trapillo discussing his role on the team and what he's going to try to do to make this team. It's the Spiegel and Holmes Show. We're here with you until 6 o'clock. Little NFL breaking news. Justin Tucker has been cut by the Ravens.
It's very interesting the way that they phrased this. I think everybody understands what's been happening with the massage lawsuits and the multiple masseuses coming out of the woodwork to pile on. This is the phrasing from Ravens executive vice president and general manager Eric DaCosta. Sometimes football decisions are incredibly difficult, and this is one of those instances. Considering our current roster, we have made the tough decision to release Justin Tucker. Justin created many significant and unforgettable moments in Ravens history. His reliability, focus, drive, resilience, and extraordinary talent made him one of the league's best kickers for over a decade. We are grateful for Justin's many contributions while playing for the Ravens. We sincerely wish him and his family the very best in this next chapter of their lives. What do you make of the phrasing up top there, Lawrence Holmes, on football decisions and considering our current roster?
There is an argument to be made that he should have been cut during the season last year because he missed a lot of big kicks for the Ravens. I do think it's interesting that they wanted to put it out and say, look, no, this is totally just a football decision that we're making. I need to know what his roster bonus would be, and if they're going to designate him as like a June 1 guy. Like, there's a lot of stuff that I want to kind of get into the weeds about to figure out if it's actually a football decision that was made here.
They drafted a kicker as well, so they did that. But yeah, his bad performance last year gives them
a lot of cover
out.
If that's what they wanted to do.
His cap hit is $6.9 million in 2027. Cap hit now in 25 is $7 million and seven again in 26. So $7 million for a kicker doesn't happen a lot.
For a kicker that's missing kicks.
Yeah.
And missing big kicks while you think that you're in a Super Bowl window.
They don't have to declare any sort of moral stance in doing this.
Sure don't. They can just be rid of him. I mean, he is 35. So this is the point where kickers are often starting to not be their best. But when you look at the numbers last year, he only made 73% of his field goals.
Before last year, you had a case to call him the greatest of all time.
100%. And then it just fell apart. And now there's the other stuff too. So the Ravens can definitely use this as cover if they want. Or maybe they just said, yeah, this is a football decision. Although I think that the football decision part of it probably should have happened right as the season ended. But that's why I want to know some of the contract language. Because I do wonder if there was an amount of money owed him if he's still on the roster June 1. And you just get ahead of that and you leave him sure. to his own devices on figuring out his life.
They don't have to do it. They don't have to declare, as we're talking about. But my opinion is that he would have gotten another year to try and rebound and continue his career if not for that stuff.
You're probably right. Because, yeah, but why? Like, if you're saying you're bringing shame to the family.
Uh-huh.
And you're not kicking and you're at the bad. Highest level possible. And you're expensive. You put all three of those things together and you got cut.
Do the Browns have an opening at kicker? Do they? Who's the Browns kicker?
I don't think they're going to. Well, I mean, I shouldn't put anything past the Browns, but that would be a mistake.
Can you imagine being Jimmy, what's his name?
Haslam.
Being Jimmy Haslam and being like, that's my guy.
Him and Deshaun. Let's get them together. That'd be a terrible thing.
The
door is wide open for Shador to just, he could take the whole thing over.
He's got to beat Dylan Gabriel.
Yeah, so Cleveland's kicker is Dustin problem. Hopkins, and he kind of sucked last year.
He did?
So, yeah, 18 of 27.
Yeah. I don't think anybody's going to take a flyer on Justin Tucker.
Not for a while.
Which would have happened 100%. You know, in a parallel universe. He wouldn't have been cut, but if he was cut.
I think that there's an argument to cut him on football alone.
Oh, no, that's why they don't have to declare.
But
another team would have been
that's
like.
That's what this is.
I don't think so.
But the argument is there to do it on its face. And maybe it should have been done in like week 12 last year. But, oh, well.
Here they are. It's Slim Pickens for NFL Storylines right now.
Love his albums.
I did find myself looking at a bunch of power rankings post-draft because I saw one, and then I'm like, well, I wonder, did everybody do one after the draft? And the answer is yes. Everybody did a power ranking.
Well, yeah, because that's part of the thing. Like, you do all of your draft stuff. People read that. They get excited about players that are not going to play for their team.
Yeah.
And they get mad because people told you were going to draft this tight end, and then you drafted another tight end.
So I am looking at the results of 9 different power rankings.
Okay.
Because we are in the knowledge acquisition business.
Who are the power rankings by? So it was like Tyler Farengold.
Tyler Farengold's power ranking. He had the Bears
Tyler
1.
Tyler Butterball.
He had the Bears 2.
No, Tyler Butterball 100% of the Bears 1.
No, the only reason he had him 2 is because George didn't show up at his wedding.
Oh, that's right.
It's the only reason. He's still bitter about that.
He did get a nice letter, though.
Yeah. Was it a nice letter?
I thought so.
I guess so.
The fact that George...
It was a letter.
Yes. It was a very George letter.
It really was.
Very much so.
And it arrived on Scooter. That's how George has his letters delivered. So, yeah, no. So Tyler's had him 1 and 2. No, I've got ESPN, NFL.com, Bleacher Report, CBS Sports, Fox Sports, USA Today, Sports Illustrated, Walter Sharp over at Sharp Football.
Any people that we know?
Yeah, I mean, Walter Sharp. We know Connor Orr over at SI.
Very good football writer.
I totally agree. CBS Sports is Pete Prisco. He's a bitter and acerbic man.
He is.
Yeah, and entertainingly so. NFL.com is our friend Eric Edholm.
We know him and like him quite a bit.
Yeah, so
Pete does the show with our guy Kyle Long.
Pete Prisco does?
Yeah, over at CBS Sports HQ.
There you go. Everybody's got a show, folks.
Everybody's got a show.
I'm trying to think. I would have gone Everybody is a Star, Sly and the Family Stone.
I've been watching a lot of Everybody Hates Chris lately.
Oh,
so
okay.
That's where it comes from.
I haven't watched the Sly and the Family Stone documentary that Questlove made.
You should.
I hear it's great. Did you watch it?
Yes.
Oh, man, I hear it's great. I love Sly.
I would also recommend the Sly and the Family Stone. TV One did an hour on him and did on them, and it was really good.
Really?
Yeah.
All right, I
there are a lot
there.
Of people who are in love with Sly.
It was easy too. I mean, that thing was beautiful. It was multiracial, multicultural, San Francisco. You know, San Francisco hippie funk. Like, let's go. What's better than that? Not much.
Not much to my ear.
Not much in the musical universe is better than that. You could argue that it was kind of like the 3 feet High and Rising of its time, or vice versa. I don't know.
Have you seen Sinners yet?
No.
I know I need to. Just for the
music, I've been told.
You got to go.
All right, I'll get there. So I'm looking at all these power rankings. Where are the Bears? Where would you guys guess the Bears are?
Okay. Boys, I'm going to let you guys go first. Okay. What do you think?
If I average it out, I would guess they'd be at about 13 to 15.
I don't have them at 13 in a single power poll. They are not above 13 in a single poll. The highest they are is the Fox Sports poll has them at number 14. That's the highest they are.
Wow, that sounds like a slap in the face.
I would say average going off of Kuhn, I would say 16th. They'll go right in the middle.
Yeah, there's a few 16s. There's two 16s. There's two 17s. Sorry, there's three 16s. There's two 17s. There's
John, 316.
There's a 19. There's a 20. And ESPN has them at number 22.
And Austin, 316, says, I just whipped your ass.
Mm-hmm. So I'd say 17 is probably the average here, maybe 18. I thought maybe somebody would have a flyer, but I guess it's not projections as much as it's current power in terms of power rankings.
Power ranking!
I just wanted to see where people thought the Bears ought to be, you know?
How do you feel about this?
I think 14 would be great. That means you're a playoff team, like bottom edge of a playoff team. I got to say, I honestly, though, I think they're going to be better than that. Am I drunk on an offseason and drunk on Ben Johnson?
Always.
It always happens, though. This from Dan Graziano over at ESPN. If the protection holds up, Caleb Williams is going to have a ton of places to go with the ball. This could be as exciting an offense as there is in the league. There's always a team that goes from last place to first place in its division. While the presence of the Lions, Vikings, and Packers might prevent the Bears from being that, if they improve enough to contend for a playoff spot, it'll probably be because Williams and all those targets have lit up the scoreboard week in and week out.
Well, the only way that they're going to be able to do that is with offensive line protection. So you guys got a chance to talk with Olin on Friday. Here's what he said about the Bears and their offensive line.
Well, and they also drafted Darnell Wright, right, and Karan Amagaji last year in the third round. So they've been drafting guys and just waiting for someone to develop into, I think Coach Juan said, likes to call them blue, right, blue players, elite football players that you need on that offensive line. But it's always good to see them taking offensive linemen like Ozzie Tripillo, who a lot of people have respect for, big guy, right, can move, blocks well. A lot of people saw him as a swing tackle. A lot of people saw him more as a right tackle. Interesting to see here Ryan Poles talk about we're going to start him over there on the left side and see how he develops, because a lot of people didn't see him that way going into the draft. But we will see, and like you're saying, we've been calling for a lot of years for them to put more assets into that O-line room. And you can't complain about the amount of assets they put into their offensive line room this year with the center, Dahlman, right, they're going to move Jonah Jackson to right guard with Tooney at left guard, and now Tripillo, and then, you know, they had another draft pick, Luke Newman, in the sixth round. So they've been adding guys, Karan Amagaji, Darnell Wright. Now we just want to see that group take another step.
Got a question for you, Lawrence, and I wonder if it's my fault for how I've looked at OTAs in the past. Like, they're going to put Ozzie Tripillo at left tackle for the start right here in OTAs. That doesn't really have anything to do with where he ends up. I think,
correct.
I think that the way we should look at it, and hopefully the way that a good organization looks at it, is simply, how do I best use my time here in the offseason to learn what I can about these guys? Braxton Jones is hurt. You could play Karan Amagaji there, and maybe they will give him some, but
it seems like Karan's got an uphill battle.
Good. He should. But, like, you drafted this kid. You know he can play right. You might as well use your time to just let him be there, and you can figure out whether it's even an option and whether he's as an option as a swing tackle. And in that sense, I don't care what this says about who's starting there, and neither should the fans.
I agree with you 100%. Now is the time to do stuff like that. And then if he looks like he can handle all of it, and it's shorts and shells, you know, it's not real football, and even in camp, we don't get a ton of it, but at least if he looks like the workload, he understands how the offense works, what his role is left tackle. If that stuff comes easily to him, then it's the next challenge of, all right, now we're going to work him a little bit in minicamp, see how that goes. And then it's the next challenge of, let's see what his reps look like against live fire in camp, especially when we invite other teams to be a part of our practices. It makes all the sense in the world, Speak.
So the thing is, he said they want to have it locked and loaded by training camp, which is an interesting thing to lock yourself into. Because I agree with you that you need to see him against live fire and potentially in a live scrimmage with opposition before you make a decision. But polls made it sound like they want a decision made at the start of camp.
Well, maybe we've got, what, 12 weeks? No, 10 weeks, right? Until camp starts, or around 10 weeks. Maybe Braxton Jones is back by then, and maybe it's not even an issue.
That he's just your starter, and you've given Trapillo time.
Yeah, and you've helped get him ready for whatever it is. As a matter of fact, why don't we listen to Olin talk about this? The idea of Trapillo seen more as a right tackle and then him being moved to left tackle.
I got to be honest, when I take a step back, there's things that, you know, we all say, man, I would have done this, because it's easy to be a Monday morning quarterback when you're not in the building up there at Hallis Hall. But when you take a step back and look at everything they've done this offseason with the coaching staff, with the guys they sign in free agencies, with the draft pick, this is a vastly improved football team. And if you think about the guys they've already have in that building, you say to yourself, okay, man, it's time for them to take a step, right? It's time for Darnell Wright to become an All-Pro. It's time for him to become an All-Pro, to take a leadership role in that locker room. Time for Rome Odunze to take a step. Caleb, of course, man, he's the guy. Right, we're talking about all this stuff. It's been a luxury this year, guys, not to talk about the quarterback. Don't talk about the quarterback, but it's been a luxury for us to complain about other things. Why can't the Bears take all these other positions? Because they got their quarterback, man. And that, when you check that off, and he's got to take a step, and he's got to play better. And if he does, and all of a sudden you got the mind that we all think Ben Johnson is he a leader? Can he be a head coach at his young age? Can Declan Doyle take a step, help him create schemes and plays against other teams? But as you guys can hear in my voice, the more I look at this team, the more I look at the way they're built, they got a chance, man. Now, guys got to take steps. Guys got to improve. Guys got to show they can do the things that they're capable of doing. But they have now. Ryan Poles has built a team that looks like they can maybe take a step if everyone grows the way they're supposed to grow together.
Olin getting people going with that towards the end of the segment. People like ready to run through a wall, as Olin can make you feel every once in a while. He's got legit optimism about this thing.
He does, but he's also cautious because he understands how things continue to go. We need to take a break. Back to baseball with Steve Stone. He joins us next here on The Score.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
I'm Emma Grade, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Grade, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Grade, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Please welcome accomplished pitcher and popular broadcaster, Steve Stone.
Yes.
Steve Stone.
The White Sox having success at Birmingham. Are you noticing that? Paying attention to it? Does it portend good things in your mind?
Well, I will tell you, Speaks, if you've noticed it, I've noticed it.
Chicago White Sox television analyst.
Let's go down to Brooke to get to know Shane Smith a little better.
Final question for him is, if you had to sing a song in front of a big crowd with no preparation, what song would you go with? He said, Party in the USA. He actually did a little impromptu karaoke in high school in front of the entire school, and Party in the USA was his go-to song. It's always a crowd pleaser, right? And Steve, I know we're working on your playlist here. You got to be a Miley Cyrus fan. You love Party in the USA, right?
Oh, there's no doubt about it. I mean, I party everywhere, but the USA is probably the best place to party, yeah.
Steve Stone with Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
It's great to be able to talk baseball and White Sox with Steve Stone. He joins us on the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa app today. Stoney, it's good to talk to you, especially after your May the 4th be with you bobblehead yesterday over on the South Side. I was thinking of you because I ran across a reel where they were talking about the movie Major League, and they were talking about the villain in that movie, Clue Hayward, who was played by former Major Leaguer Pete Vukovich. And what made me think of you was that the director had talked about how they based that character on Thurman Munson, and I never knew that.
I didn't know it either, and Pete Vukovich was a real character. He won the Cy Young Award, I think, a couple of years after I won it. And the good part about that was I had the highest earned run average ever to win a Cy Young Award until Pete. So he broke my record, and I was ecstatic with that. Every time I see him, he scouted for a lot of years, and I went, hey, way to go, Pete. Yeah, you got me out of the book. Way to go, pal.
That's amazing. But you had a better year than Pete, though. I mean, for anybody who doesn't know, I mean, you don't feel like your Cy Young was undeserving, do you, Steve Stone? You earned that thing.
No, I think that in the last 47 years, there's only been two guys to win 25 or more games. One of them, unfortunately, passed away. That was Bob Welsh, and the other was me. So, yeah, I think
wow.
I earned it.
Wow. That's amazing.
It made me smile. Like, I was like, oh, wow, I had no idea that was the thing. And then and to see it all play out and have it all connected, I love when dots connect in baseball.
He was Thurman was a character. He was you know, the probably one of the real early hard-nosed players for that generation. And the rivalry with Carlton Fisk and Thurman was terrific because obviously the Red Sox Yankee rivalry was great. And I truly believe Thurman would have made the Hall of Fame had he not had the plane crash, which turned out to be very sad.
Steve Stone with us on the Spiegel and Holmes show here on 670 The Score. Josh Rojas comes back yesterday and was a nice part of a good win. White Sox win a series. Some other things have been going pretty well for the White Sox overall. This is a good moment in terms of how they're looking and how they're performing on the field.
Well, you know, Speaks, what I've been saying is that it hasn't translated into as many wins as this team would like, but the brand of baseball is better. The guys are really hustling. I haven't found one guy who is not giving it everything he's got just about on every play. They're taking turns aggressively, and they're looking to take the extra base. If one of the fielders bobbles a ball at all, they're off to the races. We're stealing bases. Luis Robert is running like he's the best base stealer in baseball, and he might not be the best, but he's right up there. We're running into a team now here in Kansas City that's going to try to run us out of the ballpark, but I think we're just doing a whole lot better across the board. And, you know, we still have those games where you make a couple of errors and you let things slip away. And we do know that there's some issues with the back end of the bullpen, but you can't fix everything at once. And I think this particular administration, both the front office and the dugout, I think are doing a great job with what they have to work with at this point.
In the sixth inning yesterday, Chase Meidroth walks, steals second, comes home on a two-out single by Luis Robert. Then Robert steals second,
And he scores on an Edgar Caro single for what ends up being the game-ending run, game-winning run. So there's three guys who are, I think, legit big leaguers and showing what you're talking about. Stealing bases, getting two out knocks. Robert, overall, I think now he's got, I believe it's 10 hits over his last nine games, three homers and eight RBIs in there. Some good defense as well. He's having a moment where he looks like the top end of what Luis Robert is supposed to look like, isn't he, Steve?
Well, a couple of years ago, he was one of the best players in baseball. You look at those numbers and they jump out at you. And then he had some problems. What it was, I don't know. I'm not sure that he knows exactly, but he's starting to come around. And if we ever get warm weather in Chicago, and it's very warm here today. I mean, warm by early baseball standards. It's 74 degrees, so it's great. I think he loves when the weather is like that. And hopefully against a really good pitcher, Cole Reagans, he's going to be able to perform, because Cole is a pretty good pitcher. We dodged him all of last year, which is a good thing, but we run into him here today.
Stoney, we've been having a conversation today about Andrew Vaughn. And In a season like this with the White Sox, I think the place that we both kind of landed was, sure, allow him to continue to try and figure some of this stuff out. This has been his most struggling season that he's had as a major leaguer. I know you were high on him and some of the tools. Why hasn't it come together for him?
You know, early in the season last year was the same thing. He didn't have a particularly good first couple of months and then really turned it on the second half of the year. And everybody's hoping that the light turns on a little sooner this year. So it's not for lack of effort. He works very hard. He also hits the ball very hard. And, the WOBA and ex-WOBA that everybody knows and loves, for him it projects that he should be hitting a lot better than he's hitting. So he's not hitting great, but he is hitting in tough luck, and he does hit the ball hard. It's going at people, and hopefully he can find some line drives that fall, some little squibbers here and there. And, you know, he's been a good hitter most of his career, and this is inexplicable. I think he's looking for answers, as is everybody else. Marcus Thames is certainly looking for answers, but sometimes these guys get off to slow starts and things work out very well for them, and everybody is hoping that for Andrew – that's the case this year.
You referenced him working hard. I don't know if the organization is even aware of a former farmhand who tweeted over the weekend about Andrew's work habits. It was in the context of wanting to talk about Tim Elko. But to your knowledge, did that tweet or that moment on social media make its way into the organization? Did it make its way to your attention, Steve?
No, I don't know what it was. So if you can illuminate me, I will find out if I think there's a lot of validity to it.
Oh, okay.
Who tweeted it?
It was a guy named Tyler Osick, former White Sox minor leaguer. And Tyler had tweeted, let me grab it here just so I have it. He had tweeted that, I'll tell the truth here, .. Andrew Vaughn would be out in Arizona golfing, and we would all be grinding in Arizona at the facility in the offseason. He'd show up two times per week, dumbbell press 40 pounds, take 20 swings off the machine, show up and hit 250 with 15 bombs and 500 at-bats, and then repeat it the next year. To me, that was just a slap in the face to all the people grinding to make it, given the keys to the game and took it for granted, .. Promote Tim Elko. So I don't know Tyler Osick, but that's some harsh words about Andrew Vaughn's offseason approach.
Well, I don't know Tyler Osick either, and I didn't see that particular tweet, but apparently Tyler didn't make it. So not that that is necessarily a yardstick for tweeting. As we know, some things, and I know this is going to shock you guys, some things that are tweeted actually aren't particularly accurate. I don't know if this one is, but, you know, many times what you do in, let's call it December or January, doesn't have a lot of basis if you're a veteran player for what happens in, call it May or June. So because Andrew has always hit a bit, I think he's going to hit again. And I think it's going to be hopefully a repeat of last year, where if you look at the second half numbers and you also look at how hard he hits the ball, I'm hoping that he does come around. And as far as Tim Elko is concerned, you know, he's doing a great job down there. You can't diminish what he's done. He's not on the 40 man. So bringing him up to the major leagues would require dropping somebody from that 40 man. And why he is not here, that's really not my job. I don't know.
Stoney, how excited are you that Nancy Faust is going to be back in the ballpark this spring and summer?
Oh, I think she's terrific. I mean, I just always loved her and what she did, and yeah, it's part of White Sox culture, and she's just a wonderful woman.
She's the best, and she invented the walk-up song with Dick Allen back in the early 70s. It's like, and she is, I know some of the organists around MLB, Steve, she is beloved and put on a pedestal by some of the great organists active in MLB. This is a wonderful thing and should be part of a great promotional year, having her for six Sundays, right?
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, I think, look, you're celebrating 125 years in existence for the White Sox, and I didn't check, but did Tyler Osik tweet about her at all?
I don't think so. I hope not. Nancy doesn't deserve that.
Maybe she doesn't. She didn't work as hard in the wintertime as she usually did.
You're a great radio teammate, Stoney. We should have hipped you to that before we tossed it at you live. I'll go ahead and let people behind the curtain. Sorry about that. But it was when you mentioned the effort, I thought, oh, maybe they did catch wind of this. So, yeah, no, and Nancy has not tweeted about Andrew Vaughn either.
I think that's terrific. But I have really curtailed my tweetosphere, so I'm not quite as active on it as I once was.
You and me both, man. I think it's borderline whether it's a net negative or a net positive on society. It's right there on the edge. What do you think? Net negative, well, net positive?
Personally, I think it's net negative because I can't see the advantages of it for people putting out content. And, you know, if you're putting out content all the time, then you're really not getting anything back except a lot of negativity, because there is that. You know, there's people will tell you, anybody who participates a whole lot in tweeting and everything else, realizing that it doesn't matter what you say, but you're going to have, you know, 20 people attack you. And then if you try to defend that, then you have 20 more attack you. And just it's a law of diminishing returns.
I think you're probably right.
I think he's right about it.
Wright Thompson said it a long time ago.
Oh, I know. Should have just listened to him.
And he was dead on about it. The White Sox are going to take on the Royals. One of my favorite players in the league is Bobby Witt Jr. Watching that guy do what he's done. And he's another one of those players that you kind of identify early. And it wasn't hard with Bobby Witt Jr., but there are two guys that I think of when I watch them play and I hear your scouting reports in my head when they play. Bobby Witt Jr. is one of them, and Spencer Torkelson is the other one.
Man.
And it looks like Torkelson is back to where he was a couple of years ago, at least from a slugging standpoint. Share with people what you think of these two players, Torkelson with the Tigers, and obviously you guys are going to see Bobby Witt Jr. tonight.
Well, you know, obviously completely different players, but Bobby Witt is that rare combination of just about everything you want in a player, he is. And he plays an essential position, which is shortstop, and he plays it very well. And from the time he came into this league, he ran as hard as he could on every play, all game long, all year long. And it was just a pleasure to watch, because he is what you'd want a young player to be if he didn't have the talent that Witt has. But you factor in the enormous talent he has and realize that he plays that position that you certainly want to strengthen if you don't have a great one to begin with. And here in Kansas City, you know, they love him, and why not? Along with Salvi Perez, who is one of the true leaders on this team, I think it gives him a couple of players that help lead the way. They don't have a lot of power on this team. The fact that they hit 7 home runs in Baltimore was kind of an aberration, but they've hit 10 home runs the last 2 games. So suddenly they're finding the ability to hit the ball out of the ballpark, but this is not a power laden team. So this should be an interesting series. The fact is the White Sox haven't really played very well in this ballpark against this Kansas City team for quite some time. So hopefully the new version of the Sox can be pretty competitive in this series. I think right now I would take a split and not even play the games.
Who has impressed you, other than Shane Smith, who is one of the great stories among young starting pitchers in MLB, frankly? Who in the rotation has impressed you of late, Steve?
Well, Jonathan Cannon has done a terrific job, I think. I mean, these guys, these young pitchers are just learning how to do it. And the key to any pitcher is to learn how to win or keep your team in the game with less than your best. And I talk about Sandy Koufax a lot because his book, and it wasn't an autobiography, just a biography at the time, his book really turned everything around for me. I was averaging 12 strikeouts a game in the California League, which was the best Class A league in the country. It was my first stop. And with averaging 12 strikeouts a game, I was 3-10 with a 6-point ERA at the break because every guy wasn't striking out was doubling up the gap. And so I read Sandy Koufax's book, and he said, everybody argues about the best pitch in baseball. They talk about a curveball or a well-located fastball or a good changeup. He said, but the best pitch in baseball has been and always will be strike one. And that's what our guys are having to learn, how to throw strike one, how to stay ahead of these hitters, because we don't have big strikeout guys in this rotation. But we have a lot of pitchers who have good moving stuff. And I think with Ethan Katz and Brian Bannister, they're going to bring the best out of these guys. So the starting rotation is seemingly a lot better than it was. Yeah, Shane Smith has been terrific, and for a Rule 5 pick, that was pretty good by the boys in the front office. And also, Mike Vassell is one of those guys, another Rule 5 pick, and he's been wonderful coming out of the bullpen. So, you know, there's some light at the end of the tunnel, and hopefully the boys find it sooner rather than later. But there's some great stories. I mean, Edgar Caro is a great story. He's a very young 22-year-old, meaning he just turned 22 a little bit ago. And you watch him at bat, he looks like his whole demeanor is that of a 10-year veteran. He doesn't get excited. The game doesn't move too fast for him. And he's really improved his not only his mechanics behind the plate, but the thought process. So that's really an exciting guy to watch on a daily basis. And, you know, Corey Lee should be coming back soon, which will give the Sox a real dilemma. Because eventually Kyle Teal's going to be here. And you would think, and I don't know exactly how it's going to play out, but the Caro-Teal combination looks pretty good. But, mm-hmm. You know, Corey Lee was looking real good before he turned his ankle. So this is going to be something that that the Sox will enjoy for the first time since I've seen them, which is a glut of talent behind the plate. I didn't think I'd ever use that associated with the White Sox.
No, it'd be great to see all three of them here together if need be. Let them all talk to each other. Let them all learn together. They all seemingly have a great attitude. We were just talking to Carson Kelly yesterday. He and Miguel Amaya are still teaching people, still teaching each other stuff. You know, catchers can learn from each other, Stoney.
They can, and Carson Kelly's been a great story for the Cubs. The Cubs are a terrific story as a team that looks like they should win the division this year. And Kelly is one of those guys that that's doing quite a job for them. And I guess their dilemma is, what are you going to do with Tucker?
They got to pay him. It's time.
Yeah. You know, you would think, but who knows?
Stoney, as always, we appreciate your time. Thanks so much for talking ball with us.
Okay, guys, have a good rest of the show, and I'll talk to you down the road.
Thanks, Steve.
That is Steve Stone. We need to take a time out, but I realize that there might have been people who might not have known that Nancy Faust was coming back.
It's awesome news. Let's tell people when we come back.
Yeah, when we come back, we'll let you know the dates in which you can hear Nancy Faust back on the organ over at 35th and Shields. It's next here on The Score.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Everything's fine. Everything's fine. Lawrence, everything's fine. Matt, everything's fine. Tanny, everything's fine.
Afternoons on The Score.
So the White Sox announced today that Nancy Faust is going to be back on the South Side on selected Sundays to celebrate the 125th anniversary. Nancy Faust will be there on Sunday.
So what's cool is that only about half of the ballparks in Major League Baseball even have organists these days. You're used to it at Wrigley, and it used to be the way on the South Side, but it hasn't been that way for a while. So she's one of the greatest of all time, a very, very important one. I know she's wanted to be back. This is wonderful.
The quote from her is, "I'm absolutely thrilled to be returning to the ballpark and connecting with fans through music once again. The energy of White Sox fans is unlike anything else. And I'm honored to be a part of the 125th anniversary celebration." So here are some of the Sundays with their connections for you. Sunday, May 11th against Miami.
This Sunday. That's Mother's Day.
You can go be with Nancy Faust on Mother's Day. Sunday, May 25th against Texas. Charles Comiskey bobblehead day.
Man, I've always wanted a Charles Comiskey bobblehead.
Who was the owner that had his own bobblehead?
Josh Rubenstein.
From Baltimore.
In Baltimore,
that guy,
yeah.
Yes. Well,
I'd rather have a Charles Comiskey.
100%.
10 times out of 10.
Sunday, June 8th against Kansas City, Ray Durham bobblehead day.
Let's go!
Some good dates here,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, yeah.
Sunday, June 29th, Louis Aparicio bobblehead.
Come on, man. That's phenomenal.
Sunday, July 13th. This is the big
This
weekend.
Is the one. This is the one.
This is the Burley statue. So it's going to be Burley, Garland, Garcia, and Contreras bobbleheads for the first 10,000 fans.
Is that one bobblehead with all four of them on it?
No. I don't know.
It's four
I'm
different
guessing,
ones?
It probably is what you're saying.
I think it's
you
one.
You put all four of the starters there on one bobblehead. And the Burley statue is Friday, July 11th, right? Isn't that when it's supposed to happen?
It's a big weekend.
It is. It's a huge weekend. And then Sunday, August 10th against Cleveland, Ozzie Guillen bobblehead day.
Come on, man.
So you get Nancy, plus you get these cool days.
Ozzie and Nancy, very friendly. There'll be some lovely moments there. That's so great. I don't know where... Does it say where they're going to put her? She's had her moments when she was back working at Old Comiskey and this one. She had a booth, but she used to be out there in center field, too.
Now, that's a good question. Maybe if we get Nancy on, we can ask her all about the logistics of it.
We are efforting Nancy Faust. She's been on the station before. She was on Hit and Run, I think, last year, maybe the year before. And I know a bunch of organists around the league that adore her, idolize her, and are in touch. Hopeful to have Nancy Faust on this show this week.
It's a very cool thing that the White Sox are doing. That sounds like a lot of fun. We need to take a break. When we come back, we've got fresh sound from Wrigley Field. The Cubs are taking on the Giants tonight. You can catch the pregame show starting at 6:05, right? Because it's 6:40 first pitch on the Southwest Airlines and Cubs Radio Network. We're going to come back and let you hear from Cubs baseball president Jed Hoyer about the Shota injury, how hot PCA is, and more next on The Score.